Hey, welcome back to Cafecito, the podcast where we talk all things culture over some nice cafecito. I'm Yvette Cruz.
And I'm Josh Cárdenas.
And today we're talking about the COVID-19 pandemic and how this entire thing has changed our entire lives, like handshakes and public gatherings, traveling, hygiene. The list goes on and on. I mean, I can't even watch TV or movies without like thinking those people are too close together. Why are they in such a crowded place?
Right.
So it's been a big thing that's lingering on my mind all the time. I just wanted to ask you, Shoal, what's one big change that you have had to deal with and adjust to since all of this started?
For me, just the idea of having the option to go do something. That could be anything. Like even just having the option, like, okay, I'm gonna go to the store. Maybe not so much now, like hopefully people are wearing masks. And if you're not wearing a mask, my opinion, you should wear a mask. But just the idea of like, okay, I have to think about, am I going to be safe if I go to this place? Or if I'm going to be safe if I go back to the gym, for example? Like, I know the gym is high risk considered. I think the other day we saw something about University of Nebraska had something, or I think you posted on one of our channels at work. Was it you or somebody else? I can't remember.
I know what you're talking about. It wasn't me who posted it, but I know what you're talking about. Just like assessing risk
and
activities have more risk.
Yeah, like, and I do like going to the gym, but I think that was like a 7 or an 8 out of 10 as far as risk. So even little things like that, because it used to be, I can go tomorrow, that option. But now it's like when you don't have that option, then it becomes like, you really don't know what you have until it's gone. Things like that. And I know we'll talk about like maybe, you know, visiting our family, and that's obviously priority things. But if we're talking just like little things, it's just things like that. Or even I'm going to go to Target or Walmart. And especially, I don't know about you, but for me, I didn't go the first few months. I did not. I chose the option to curbside pickup or whatever like that. Mm-hmm. It was only, I think, around May when I actually started going into the store. But face mask, yes. Gloves, yes. I sometimes do wear gloves still, just because, you know, obviously not just to protect myself, but, you know, helping out with my mom, and we'll get to that, I'm sure, in a little bit. But my mom is in that range where she is at risk because she is 74. So knowing that, okay, I have to be extra careful because if I get sick, I get sick. But I don't want to get my mom sick. Like, that would hurt the most. So if I have to wear gloves just to be on the safe side, you know, more for her than for me, then that's what's got to be done. Sometimes I'll wear gloves. I've relaxed on that a little bit, but I still have the mask. But there are times where I still will wear the gloves. So just things like that, like that we would never think about in the past, like now that's becoming the reality. What about you?
There's a lot. I think one of the big things that stands out to me is going to the store. Things are just completely different than they were before. So I do go to the store, but I used to go for just like random things. Like I need an avocado because I want an avocado for lunch today. And I would go to the store for the one avocado. And now I don't do that. Like I go for my one big trip. And when it all started out, that's what I was doing. I was doing the one big trip and I would go once a week. And I would try and get everything that I could that like during that trip, and then I wouldn't go again for another week. I pushed it out to 2 weeks. I even got it out to 3 weeks at one point where I just wasn't. I was like, I was not letting anything go to waste. I was just figuring out how to use what was in my kitchen, which I should have been doing before. But just the anxiety of having to go back to the store just really stressed me out, really made me anxious. I remember there were several times where I would come up with a strategy where I'd be like, okay, this is exactly what I need. This is what I'm going to get. This is the route that I'm going to go in the store. And this is before they had the arrows telling you which way you could go. Like I would think, okay, I'm going to go in here. I'm going to get the bread. Then I'm going to get the dairy. And then I'm going to get like whatever it is. I had my route planned in my mind. So that was the plan. And then I would get my bags. And then I would have to remember, okay, well, if you take your reusable bag, you can't put it on the counter. You can't put like, you have to bag your own things. So like how, so even when I'm thinking what I'm going to shop, I would pick out the strategy so I could bag it myself, like all this stuff. And there were several times where I was ready to go. I had my mask on, I had my keys, I had everything. And I'd be like, no, I can't do it today. I can't. And I'd be at the door and I just couldn't do it because I just thought, no, I still have like cereal left. I'll just eat that, because the anxiety was just very, very high. It still is sometimes, but I just little things like that. I couldn't, and I mean, I still can't just do the normal things, the little things that we took for granted. I think there have been a couple occasions now where I do need one thing, and I'll go to a different store. Like, I haven't been to very crowded stores. I also don't go during crowded times. Like, that's another thing I have to take into consideration. Before, I would be like, I just don't want to be around people. And now I'm like, I don't want to, what if I'm a carrier? And what if I get someone sick? And what if someone dies? And what if I get some, or what if I get sick because I went out and I didn't need to? And then I get someone who I love sick. Like, it's just all that stuff that is, it's a lingering thought every single day during everything that we do. And I don't think I've ever been at a point in my life where something was a lingering thought like that for this long. So that's been a major change. It's just the day-to-day activities, the little things that I wanted to do before that I can't do the same way now. And there are precautions that we can take. And so I'm glad that, you know, you mentioned you wear masks and gloves. I wear masks when I go out. I will say that at least the stores that I have gone to, and this is why I keep going back, is I do see a majority of, well, now we live in Salt Lake County, so they're required. But before they were required, the stores that I would frequent, I noticed that more people would also wear masks. And so I kind of felt like, okay, well, I kind of felt like a little more like of a community, like, okay, we you take care of me, I take care of you. Like, I got your family, you got my family. So that was nice. And that's why I would go back in. And my anxiety did ease a little bit. But even when I'm at the store still, like, I'm like, you know, sometimes you're like, you want to look at a box and be like, wait, what is this? And you pick it up and you turn it around. Like, I feel like I can't pick things up to look at them anymore. I still do sometimes. But I feel it even more now, where I'm like, oh, I just touched something. Like, what if I, you know, it's that lingering thought that is nonstop, and just everything that we do. Like, we talk, I mean, I don't know if we ever talked about this here, but months ago when this all started, and we talked about, like, you know, wash your hands, you know, just be safe. Like, just wash your hands when you need to. And it just kind of was this reality of like, yes, I feel like most people wash their hands. Sure. I don't think like we're all disgusting and never washed our hands. But I know for sure we didn't wash them as often as we needed to,
right. And
as long as we needed to, and yeah, the way that we needed to do them. So I just remember at that time, like, that was like this big like thing where people were suddenly discovering, like, yeah, you're supposed to wash your hands, like, before and after this, and, you know, for this long, and for and with soap, like, things like that. Not that I didn't. I'm just saying, like, that was the thing that, like, people were starting to realize. And so that was. But even then, like, it wasn't a lingering thought all the time. And now it's carried over. Now that it's been months, it's carried over, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing, that we're more cautious about these things.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, like, we're definitely more aware of hygiene, and we're definitely more aware of things that we, you know, shouldn't have been doing before. Just, like, not like, dirty things per se, but just, like, we're aware of just I was never a germaphobe. I still don't think I'm a germaphobe, but I'm just way more aware of, like, how everything you touch has been touched and could spread, like, right. Just it's that spread. And I don't know if you had nightmares. I definitely have nightmares about, yeah, just the world, the state of the world.
You know, for me, I don't know about you, and we'll just say this for disclosure, like, we, like, for both of us, we haven't really talked too much at length about kind of everything that has happened these past few months,
yeah,
even with work. So I want our listeners to know that, like, this is really us having, like, kind of our first conversation about this. There's been months where we just, like,
yeah,
we just said, like, oh, yeah, it's tough, it's things like that, but this is not, we haven't. Like, so, for me, for example, like, I don't know about you, but for me, when all of this started, I didn't think it was going to be a big deal. I was like, okay, you know there's somebody infected down in St. George, and he was on that cruise ship. Okay, whatever, we'll play it by ear, but then I hate to say it, but it really was after the whole Rudy Gobert thing, mm-hmm, in Oklahoma City.
And then March 11th.
Yeah, everything shut 12th. Down. Then it's like, okay, this is really happening. Like, it just felt like, okay, that wave isn't really going to hit us, right? And yeah, the wave is right at you. And now you're trying to swim, you know, you're trying to swim to try to save yourself. And so, you know, here we are so many months later. And I don't know about you, but for me, that first month and a half was really rough. Like, it was really, I think for a lot of people, it was really, yeah, depressing. It was really sad. It was really just the idea that we can't really go and do these things anymore. And obviously then the family, like, I can't go really see my mom. I can't go see these other people. I can't do this. Just feeling that, like, to me, I think most people in the world now can say that they don't know what it's like to have their freedom taken away. Because now you can say it to an extent. Yes, it's different when you're incarcerated, things like that. But this was our you if you want to call it, what is it called? Like, you know, at home, you know, you're locked up at home almost basically. And it was really, I don't know, it was really rough. Like mentally, you begin mm-hmm. to kind of just like, I don't know, for me, there was a couple of times I felt like I was mentally breaking down. It's like, everything's going to be fine. Like, don't freak out. Like, don't, I kept telling myself, like, don't freak out. Yes, this is weird because we're basically trapped. You know, it's almost like there's, and it's not the case, but it almost felt like, at least for me, like, it's almost like there's a gas out there and we need to stay inside and don't go out. Or if you do go out quickly, which wasn't the case technically, you know, and it's still not the case. You could still go out. You can still exercise. You can still, it's about people. It's about spaces, et cetera. And if you feel sick, washing hands, like you said, and staying in good hygiene. But it just felt like it. It just felt like, oh my goodness, this is, we're all at risk, and which we all, to an extent, I guess we all are at risk. But I don't know, in my mind, it felt like it was maybe it was worse. It's still bad, don't get me wrong, but it was much worse than I thought, in the sense of like, no, you could still live, like it'll be fine. But I also felt at the same time the responsibility is like, no, I'm part of, especially like with the job that we do, I'm part of this team, and I gotta stay focused, and I gotta stay focused on this. And I, even though we're constantly hearing bad news, we're constantly hearing this or this and all this stuff, and it's, I don't know, for me, that first month and a half was really bad. And I thank my mom for helping me, you know, kind of give me those pep talks that were needed. Thank the people also with work. Thank, you know, even chatting at times, you know, even if it's just a Slack, like with you, just, hey, how you doing? You know, things like that. So I had to thank some of the friends that have reached out also as well. But I could say by April, we kind of began to like, okay, it almost began to get normal, even though it's not normal, but you just kind of get used to it. But March was just really bad. I don't know about how for you those first few months were, Yvette, but that's how I felt.
March was terrible. Mm-hmm. April sucked. Mm-hmm. May, like, well, it's just, I definitely know how you feel, in a different sense, I guess. I struggled. For me, it's been a roller coaster, and I'll say it's been because it still is. It's been several months now, and I when someone asks me how I'm doing, honestly, it depends on the day, and it depends on the hour, and it depends on the minute, and it depends on how the events of the day have transpired. I have not been in like a constant state of one emotion or even like three emotions since, yeah, probably March. We have been dealing with, and it's not just us, I think, the thing is about like news, like, you know, we work in this industry, and yeah, a lot of bad things happen, and sometimes it's like a lot of bad things at once, and somehow, and sometimes it really sucks, and it does get to you. I'm sure that there's people that it doesn't get to, and I don't want to say I worry about them, but yeah, like, it's, I think it's normal. We are human, and a lot of us are very empathetic, and so it does get to us. But this was the first time that we were also living what was happening completely. Like, I think I've been in certain communities where I'm talking, where I'm reporting about something, and I'm kind of in there, but I'm not the direct person, if that makes sense. I think, you know, we don't write, when we report things, we're not reporting about things that happen to us. We report about things that happen to other people. And if it happens to us, somebody else will report about it. That's, and we always say, like, don't become a part of the story. That's just kind of a thing in news. And this was a thing where we all became a part of the story. We're still part of the story. The entire world was going through this, everybody in a different way, but it was something that didn't just go away. And then we had an earthquake in all that, like the week after.
It wasn't funny in the moment, no. But I have to laugh now because it's like there's nothing else I can do to help feel better about it.
Yeah, no, I can't laugh. I still feel the effects of it. I actually just the other day I woke up, I like thought though I felt really? Shaking. Yeah, like that to me. So, and I don't know, because I won't actually know, like if I've just been triggered by a lot of things because it's all happening, like maybe had the earthquake been, you know, last year or maybe next year, maybe it would have been different, maybe I would have handled it better. But on top of the already constant updates that we are doing with COVID and the constant people, the public saying, you know, you're not telling us enough, and the other half saying you're telling us too much and you're scaring us, and then back and forth and back and forth, when really all we're trying to do is keep people informed. So there was like that, you know, there was also us living it, then we're at home, and it's like, there was a moment where I was like, oh, cool, you know, we'll work from home for a little bit, like, that'll be nice. And then I was like having good moments where I was thriving. I felt like I, because everything was going virtual, I guess, there was a moment in time where like a bunch of these celebrities were doing Instagram live concerts. And so I was out here like listening to John Legend and Miguel, like I was out at these like live concerts on Instagram. So it was like, you know, these like moments where you were seeing people like trying to connect with other people and doing what they could to connect with other people. And so that was cool. And then just again, like the roller coaster, things just got bad and things got really, really bad. And you kept hearing about it. And for me, like there was no way to turn it off. I know some people were like, oh, there's just so much going on. I need to disconnect. And I get that. And I think a lot of us do too. But the thing is like for 8 hours a day, sometimes 9-10 hours a day, there's no way that we can disconnect. And then the other half of the day or however long, we're living it. So we can't disconnect. And so there's no escape. And it still kind of feels like that sometimes. But I'd have good moments and bad moments and then terrible moments and then less terrible moments. And it just kept going and going. And there was a moment where I thought, you know, this is, again, like how you said, I thought we're going to be okay. We just have to ride this out. But that was like, what, March, April? And then if you would have asked me then, like, do I think this is going to last until July, that where we're at now, or August, or 2021, I probably would have told you no. And now, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I don't know that I can think that far ahead. Or now, like you said, it's become kind of for a while it was a routine. So it was like, you know, we were used to not driving to work. But now it's become life, and we don't know. The worst part of it for me is the uncertainty, because we don't know when it will end, if it will end, if it will get worse, if we've already hit worse, if, you know, we'll be okay mentally, because that's been a big thing. I think one of my things is, yes, it sucked to have, like, I loved going to the movies by myself sometimes on a Sunday, and yeah, it kind of sucked to not be able to do that anymore, and yeah, seeing things were closed, or yeah, I had anxiety going to the store, but you could have taken all of that away from me and been like, stay home, but go visit your friends, or go have your friends over, visit your family. Like, to me, what really, really, I think, broke me at one point is the solitude. I felt like I was in solitary confinement. And I don't want to make light of that, because I know that I was home comfortable and, you know, with a roof over my head and with a fridge with food. Like, I was good. I was not in terrible conditions or anything. I'm very aware of that. But I couldn't have any contact with people. Like, I didn't, you know, at work, we're not talking, we're just all, it's all virtual. And then I can't see anybody that I love, not in person, you know, it was all virtual. And there were days where I realized I haven't spoken to a single person. And I am an introvert, so I like my alone time when I choose my alone time. And I just felt like there's no choice. Like, this is it. And who knows for how long. Obviously, things started opening up a little bit more and the restrictions started easing. And so I was able to see people. But yeah, it depends on the day, really. It's tough.
It's interesting that you mentioned about you tried to, and I'm sure a lot of people as well, tried to cheer themselves up and saw some of these concerts and some of these things. See, I went the complete opposite. I didn't want to embrace that. Because why? Like, for me, I was angry. And also, I felt like I was angry at like seeing those posts and things like that. It's like, no, you embrace it. You embrace the terribleness of this. Don't try to give me this kind of like stuff like that. Especially those first 2 months, I wasn't trying to see celebrities sing or do like the Imagine video that some celebrities did.
Oh yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah, which was terrible. It's like, no, I felt like for me, and you know, and people can disagree with it, I feel like my best medicine for all this would be you just embrace it. You just embrace the terribleness, embrace the solitude, embrace the weirdness of it, and just try to just maintain, like, just embrace it and then see where things go from there. And not just go outside the world, but also mentally how you go, which is probably not the best medicine that a lot of people or even, you know, psychologists would say is the best thing. But depression and things like that, I've had that in the past. I had depression in college. So I felt like, okay, this is kind of feeling like some of my issues that I had in college. So I felt like, okay, we're going back to that. I know what will need to be done to get out of that, which probably isn't the best recommended thing, but you know, definitely you should reach out for help. I just felt like that was the best thing for me. Might not have been the smartest decision, but I mean, I made it. I decided to just fully embrace it. So I didn't listen to a lot of music those first 2 months. I didn't listen to like a fast pace or even quote unquote happy song probably until late April. Like, then I actually listened to, like, a lot of the stuff that I would listen to were just soundtracks, but no, just scores, music scores. Mm-hmm. The Interstyle soundtrack is really good. That one I listened to a lot, especially in late March. It just felt like it had the right tone of what was going on, just the whole, just everything. And I would listen to a lot of that in a loop, but I just, there was a lot of thinking and a lot of just being in this room that I'm, for those that obviously cannot see that I'm in right now in this apartment, you know, this has been solitude, like for a lot of us with our own apartments, right? But part of me hates it, but part of me at the same time is like, but this is where I've gotten stronger mentally during these past, especially those first 2 months. But at the same time, I kind of don't want to see it. I don't know, that probably doesn't make any sense, but to me, in my mind, it does make sense because it's a love-hate thing, because it's become, I love it because this is like my solitude here, and this is where I get things done. But this is like the scene of the crime, if you will. This is where I've been for these past few months, not seeing anybody, not talking really to too many people. I mean, the only contact, especially after April, where some restrictions were lifted, was as far as face-to-face. I mean, I've seen my brother maybe twice. I've seen my mom. That has been obviously a good thing. And then I've seen a colleague of ours that we have in Annie, and that's been great to go on walks. And it's like another person to like, okay, we're going through the same thing. Like, let's, you know, let's at least try to help each other out mentally and like not go crazy here and not just be like, all right, let's have some sort of interaction, even though we're 6 feet apart, and you know, walking and doing things, which is great, but it's obviously weird. It's obviously different. Mm-hmm. You know, things are, you know, it's not that things are better, but things are still different. There are some restrictions that are lifted, but I don't know. I think mentally it's been such a journey for a lot of people, I'm sure, not just myself, for a lot of people. Yeah. In what, a short period of span? What are we now? 4 months? 5 months? Five months out of this? It's just insane.
Yeah, and kind of what you mentioned, you said, like, you know, we're going through the same thing, like when you talk to somebody and, you know, you guys were kind of experiencing the same thing. One of the things that I heard, especially during the beginning, one of the things that I heard a lot that kind of put it all into perspective for me was, you know, people would be like, no, we're all in the same boat. Like, we're all in this together. And it, you know, people came back and were like, no, we're not. One, we're not in this together. Two, like, we're not in the same boat. We're in the same storm, but we are not in the same boat. Some people are in yachts. Some people are on rafts. Some people are in the water, just like that was really a big thing. And it took me some time there was like obvious points where you're like, obviously that person is in a different boat because they have a very nice, they have luxuries. Like they have a nice home with several bedrooms that they can, you know, they can change the scene every now and then, or just like a bunch of things like that. But then maybe I'm not in that boat, but then I'm also like, for example, I live alone, but I don't have any kids. And so when I have to work from home, I had a luxury too. I didn't have to also take care of my kids who are now having to do school from home. So that's that, you know, like it was just really like putting a lot of things in perspective for me where I was like, and still to this day where I'm like, okay, yeah, this sucks for me, but also this probably sucks for a lot of other people. So that's something I have to deal with. But then also kind of thinking like, but this also does suck for me. Like I'm not just, you know, it's like a balance, like recognizing what you're blessed with, but also recognizing that you don't have to be strong throughout all of this. You don't have to come out. That was another thing. Like there were, I'll say this thing. I don't know what this would have all been like without social media, because at least you're still kind of connected if you choose to be, or just kind of still getting somewhat of an interaction, or just at least seeing how people are handling it or not handling it. I don't know what this would have been like in like the 80s, right? Or I don't know, just like not being able to like see all that stuff, and maybe it would have been good, who knows.
Both sides, I think.
Yeah,
I think,
yeah,
for sure. Because I think, I don't know about you, I know it's obviously your job for so many hours when it comes to the aspect of seeing social media from the job aspect.
Yeah.
But for me, after I'm clocked out, I used to be much more of like, okay, I want to see what's going on social media, whether it's the gram or whether it is Twitter, Facebook, but now I don't want to see neither of them.
Yeah,
I don't want to see.
I feel you.
I don't. And it's not just because of the terrible news, because both of us, especially working in news, we read it all the time. So we don't need to be reminded what it is. I just don't want to, especially the first few months, I don't want to see fakeness. I was really mad at it. I don't know why it turned into anger. but I was really mad. I just didn't want to see anybody, like, don't be happy. I wanted people to be mad and be sad.
So you think they were being fake because they were happy, or you think they were faking being happy?
I felt like they were faking being happy. Oh. You know, that's, and I could be wrong. And I could be wrong. Maybe they were just like, no, like, we'll get through this and et cetera. So, but those first month and a half, 2 months, I didn't want to buy it. Like, don't tell me that. Especially when cases are skyrocketing, especially in those months, New York was, and I think I took it maybe too personally as well, because like 85% of my family isn't in New York, is in the tri-state area.
Right.
So I have a bunch of people in New Jersey, I have a bunch of people in New York. I have some of my mother's family friends had passed as well. There were 7 members of a church that my aunt's, she occasionally goes, so she's not a regular member, but she occasionally goes to that. 7 members died because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it was a case where, I think we've heard it before, there's a pastor that said, like, oh, no, like, you have to have faith. We don't need to be scared about this.
Mm-hmm.
He recovered, but he's not doing so well. He's an older gentleman. And then 7 of his members passed.
Wow.
I'm not here to debate about faith. I'm not here to debate about that. But you should take precautions. That's all. That's what I'll say. Take precautions. But I don't know why I wanted to turn into anger, but I think after those first 2 months that I realized, okay, it's time to pull back and it's time to realize that, you know what? I know we'll get past it at some point. Yes, I know. Like you said, but it's the uncertainty because we don't know when that date is.
Yeah, even now. And then just kind of going back to the whole like boat and storm thing, like not just like people's physical environments, but people's mental and emotional environments and just like how they're dealing with things. We're all in different places and spaces there too, because some people are just very emotionally healthy and deal with things a certain way, and some people don't. And some people, I talked about this with a friend months ago, but we were talking about how we were trying to not like find the positive in this, but kind of just like we're going through this, we're not gonna, like, what can we do? How can we be better? Like, not just like, how can I learn a skill, or how can I like lose 10 pounds? Like, not like that, but we were just like, we're at home. We're stuck at home. We're like safe at home. Let's put it that way. We're safe at home. We can't go anywhere. We can't do anything right now. We can't really see a bunch of people. So what can we do for ourselves? And so it kind of forced us to like, and I'm still doing, like, I'm trying. It's very hard, but like, what, I don't want to say demons, but like what things in your closet have you been like denying or like avoiding that now that you're stuck at home, you can't just like party it off, or you can't just like avoid it and go shopping, or you can't avoid it and keep working, like whatever it is for you. That's something that I really had to think about too. And then we talked about that. And so we were kind of like, yeah, like for some people, and if you think about someone who may be dealing with a lot just in general, and then you throw all of this at them and then they have to deal with it. Like for some people, I'm sure it was very, very hard to deal with it. For some people, really just didn't. And I'll tell you, like I had days where I couldn't, like I would work. Somehow like work would be like, I feel like I was on autopilot. I would like wake up and do the thing, and then, you know, do the thing all day, and then, you know, quote unquote, go home, AKA close a laptop and, you know, switch rooms. And then like, I couldn't do anything. Like I would want to, I'd be like, wow, now I can finally watch all those movies on my list I've been telling you about for years. And I couldn't watch them. I couldn't watch, like people would be like, oh, what shows have you been watching? I haven't watched any show. Like I can't watch anything. Like and I didn't do this for like 8 hours straight, but like sometimes I would just sit there and I don't even want to say process. Sometimes I process. Sometimes I would just sit there and like not do it, like not know what to do, not do anything. And then other days it was better, and I kind of pulled myself out of the things. But like the thing is, I can't even say like I'm past that, because I don't know, because it's been such a roller coaster for me. And sure, things have somewhat gone, but I've gotten to see people that I hadn't seen for a while because of all that. And I've been able to, I think there's a little bit of less anxiety going to the store now that it's kind of a routine and I know what to do. And I know everybody's going to wear a mask, and I know we're all taking care of each other, like even though it's a mandate at this point. But that's right now. That's today. I don't know what tomorrow is going to be like. I don't know what next week is going to be like. I don't know what August is going to bring, if, you know, that even happens, because this just so many things like that have been going on this year. And on top of that earthquake that I'm still not over, that was just, I feel like that was probably my lowest point, because that was on top of everything. And that happened like early in the morning before work. And then somehow I just like autopiloted to work, but it just, and then the constant things after. And then like, it wasn't like, okay, you know how like we've dealt with this before, where like, for example, in the years past, we have a wildfire season. So we can expect to be dealing with wildfires and to be reporting about them and to have constant updates. And then that season ends and we know that there's an end to it. Or with election season, we know that, all right, we're building up to it and then that ends. And so we move on to, so it's kind of like we deal with the things and then we move on to other things. And maybe we need time in between, but we don't get that. We just get to go to different things. And this year has been this thing on top of this thing, on top of this thing, on top of this thing again, all over. That is what these past few months have been like. And some days it feels a little bit less of all those things, even though they're all happening. I think maybe we've just somehow managed them or tricked ourselves to think that we've managed them. But then, you know, the next day could be completely different.
All of these years have been, one of the people that listens to the show is a good friend of mine named Vero. Shout out to you, Vero. During a couple of years where I was going through some depression in college, she called it my dark years. So this felt like a whole bunch of dark years. This felt like dark months of just kind of like, who knows what's happening? Who knows what's going on? I think lately, at least for me, I've felt more positive. I've definitely felt more like, okay, like, yes, I'm not saying that we'll get through it just to say, oh, we'll get through it. We will at some point. The uncertainty is obviously there. And also the uncertainty of even just the thought of how it's all going to work out, in the sense of, we talk about a vaccine or we talk about things like that. If you're not in the know, one company, Moderna, is starting this month. And they're in the quote-unquote lead for the vaccine, which they want to have by the end of the year, which would probably more likely go to first responders and things like that in this country. So we'll see what happens. But even that uncertainty of like, okay, am I going to get it as a flu shot? Am I going to get it at a Walgreens? How's this going to work? How long is it going to be a wait? Because obviously people are going to jump in to get it, but not everybody, because I think something that has been maybe to some people surprising already these last few weeks is the rising number of people saying, when the vaccine is available, I am not going to get it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Teach his own. I can't sit here and say yes or no or whatever. For me, I'm probably going to get it. But that's just me. I'm not trying to be here to endorse and saying you should get it. That's just me. But I would be lying if I said I didn't think about the idea of like, oh, how is that going to work? Something about it even right now. I don't know how that's going to work. And even that uncertainty is like, okay, do I need to get an appointment? Do I need to, how does this do that? Because for a lot of people, not everybody, but for a lot of people, that's seen as the freedom card. That's seen as like, okay, at least with this, I'm protected, and maybe I have to take it every 6 months or every year, like we do with the flu shot, etc. I think it was Dr. Anthony Fauci that said, like, it's, some of these ones may only be 50% that it actually is effective, meaning that you'll have to get it within 6 months, or you have to get it in a year, or you might end up getting different version of it a year from you get the first version. Then again, this is for people who want to get it. I know there's some people who do not want to get it, and that is fine if that is what you choose to do. But even that, even just the thought of that, as nice as it sounds, that idea of like, okay, eventually when the vaccine comes in, to me at least, it still seems so far away. Even though,
oh yeah,
I ask some people, like some experts and even Dr. Fauci himself, he has said we're months away. We're probably by the end of the year, if not in January. Now, 6 months doesn't seem like a lot, but no, because of everything that has happened, 6 months in the big aspect of things is not very much. But because of everything that has happened, and because of everything that could happen between now and, let's say, January, it feels like it's an eternity. And I think that's that's on top of everything. It just makes it feel like it's just dragging things out, and it just is, it sucks.
You mentioned like first responders being like possibly the ones to first get it, which that'd be great. But that made me think of one, first responders, and also essential workers. And a silver lining, I think, in all of this is that this has really made people realize how essential workers are.
Yes.
And it's made them appreciate them and all the work that they do. I mean, I think a lot of people realized the luxury of, I guess, like, for me, the luxury is, like, you know, we weren't out of work. We still have to report the news. We just got to work from home. A lot of people were out of work. A lot of people still had to go to work, even though they didn't feel safe, and still do. Like, the thing is, it just, this whole thing, I mean, it's been tough. It's been really, really tough. It's probably going to be tough. But there's so many things that it's just brought to light and just made me think about things more, and I hope make other people think about things more. But that the whole essential workers thing, when you realize that some things can't function with people, and then when you really realize that these essential workers are getting paid the least compared to other people who are getting paid like 7 times the salary of an essential worker, yet the essential worker is the essential worker. So that just kind of, I mean, some things made me angry, some things made me appreciate things more, some things just made me feel numb, weirdly enough. But that was a big thing, is I think realizing how essential workers are. And for me, the there's different arguments about the mask use and not use, and I'm trying to be a little more before I was like, no, how can you not wear a mask? Like, this is the littlest thing you can do. But now I've heard from other people who talk about why it's hard for them, and it's not just like, I don't want to, you know, there are other things behind it. So I've been a little more understanding about that. I'm trying to like not be angry with people just for nothing, or just kind of like trying to understand people a little bit more. But for me, the mask thing is like, my mom is an essential worker, and she has to wear her mask for 8 hours a day. And so for me, I think she works at Walmart, and so I think the something Walmart could do, or other companies, is require their customers to do that, to because the employees are wearing them to protect the customers. Why can't the customers wear them to protect the employees who keep the business running that you need from, you know, you need things from? And so that, just stuff like that. And I know some companies did mandate it from their customers, and I think that's great. Like for me, I'd be like, well, I'm just gonna, the thing is like, I wouldn't go anywhere. So I would go to the store, and it wouldn't take me more, it like would not even take me an hour. So, and then I'd get to my car, and I'd be like, whew, okay, I can take my mask off after like, what, 30 minutes of shopping. And then you think of the people who have to wear them for 8 hours a day or more, you know, some people wear them way longer. And so it, just putting a lot of things into perspective. Every day something new comes up where I'm like, whoa, that's, I never thought of it like that. And so I would hope that there's other people who are also kind of just realizing, like, one, everyone is in a different boat in this storm, and in other storms too. And then just kind of, I don't know, having more empathy for people who are going through different situations or are going through things differently than you are. So that's been a big thing. I want to mention things that we've, like, things that have changed. I think, yes, some of it kind of sucks. We're used to certain things a certain way. But I think a lot of, I don't want to say a lot, I think there are several changes that I think are good.
I agree.
I welcome them.
Yes.
What are some of the ones that you think?
I just want to say I love it. I really like it, because I'm not trying to get paid by this company. I love Zoom. I love the idea of, like, this isn't seen as a, this isn't a taboo thing, or it's like, this isn't, you know, I'm working from home. And so, like, at least for me, and I don't want to go on a rant, because I feel like I probably end up, because I feel like people who work from home have gotten a bad rep. Now, I have, then again, I'm biased because I worked as a freelancer for many years. So I worked from home for many years, mm-hmm. and I used Google Hangouts back then, or whatever. But at least for me, when, as a freelancer, when I would talk with other people, usually online or sometimes with other Zoom things, I got the vibe, and I could be completely wrong, but I got the vibe of freelancers like myself, we got seen as kind of a second, like almost a lower tier kind of worker, because we're not in an office, because we're not physically talking with our supervisor, because we're not there. We're just, we could be at home in our PJs and just writing the story or doing this, and it's seen as kind of lesser.
If I can't see you do the work, how do I know you're doing the work?
Right.
Like,
and,
you know, quote unquote.
And I could be completely wrong, but I got that vibe. And so now it's like, no, we could, everybody can do their job and do a great job from home.
Yes.
And that's like that validation for everybody to have.
Yeah.
It's like for those who maybe, like you said, are taking care of kids and really do have to work from home. And it's better for them to be at home instead of the office, because yes, babysitters, everything, like that's a lot of money. But now there's not that stigma of like, well, I have to find, because I have to be in the office. That argument for the most part is kind of gone.
Yeah.
It's like now you can know, you know, Susie can work from home and take care of her kids.
This company can function. Like the product can be delivered. Whatever it is can happen from home. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's been tremendous. And now, and maybe this is a future episode for another time, is just like how that's completely going to change things, because at least for me, and maybe it feels like I'm putting in a request here, but I wouldn't mind working from home. Let's say once the day things get back to, oh, yeah, and I do want to talk about that for a second. I don't like the term getting back to the way they used to be, or back to normal.
Back to normal.
Yeah, but we can talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
But once things get, you know, post-corona, we'll just say, I don't mind working at home twice a week. Three, maybe. But I do miss going to the office. I will say that. But I don't mind working from home. If you give me a Wednesday and a Friday that I can work from home, sign me up right now. I don't know about you.
I agree with that. I was thinking that too, because I I've worked from home before, just like casually. Like if I'm like, I'm not feeling well, I can work. Like we do have the ability to do that, but nobody ever was like, I'm gonna work from home for the rest of the year.
Right.
Bye. Like nobody. I don't know that they tried. Maybe they didn't. But I can tell you that even though I liked working from home, I would never be like, well, I'm gonna do this for, you know, several days a week now, or I'm gonna do this for, like, I never would have thought that was possible. But yes, now things have definitely changed, and it's very clear that a lot of things can run perfectly smoothly, like with people at home or people not all in the same place, as long as there's communication. And like, as far as our team goes, there's a ton of communication. So yeah, I didn't think about that before, but now I would say the same thing as you, like a couple days a week. You know, if it's a certain week, maybe like all the whole week, but like
maybe that Christmas,
yeah,
that week,
like
in between,
right? Or just like, or just, you know, like it's been a tough week, like lunch, you know, like but yeah, I wouldn't mind like a, you know, Mondays at home or Wednesdays, or you know, Monday, whatever, even if it was just one day a week, I'm totally fine with that. I also think, so as far as like things that are as far as like changes that we probably should stay, I'll put it that way. I'm okay. I've heard Dr. Fauci mention this before. He talks about like what can we not expect to go back to, and he says like handshakes, like we need to stop shaking hands. I'm okay with that. Like, okay. I'm okay. Like, I don't know why that was such a thing that why it's a thing you feel like you have to do, or why it's a thing that you feel like if you don't do, you're rude or you're, you know, things like that. So I'm okay with, like, if we stop doing handshakes, like stop shaking hands, I'm good. Also, like hugging, I like hugging some people. Like don't get me wrong. But you know how some people will be like, oh hi, I'm a hugger. Sorry, and you're like, but I'm not. But you can't say, oh, so you're a hugger, so you get to hug me. But I'm not a hugger, but I still have to hug you. Like things like that. I think
I'm just imagining somebody like walking up to you, and you're like, oh, I'm a hugger, and you're like, and I'm supposed to care?
I wouldn't say that, but I'd be like, oh, I'm not though. But no, honestly, like yeah, I'd probably just let people hug me either way. Like, but the thing is, like, yeah, like this kind of gives you an argument to be like, oh, remember COVID-19, let's just keep our distance. But yeah, like it sucks that there should be a reason. You should just be able to be like, oh no, I'm not a hugger. That's that. But then, you know, like okay, this could be a completely different thing. But yeah, like things like that, I think, okay, I'm okay with that. I've heard this before too, which I hadn't thought about before. There's just so many things that, like I said, I was never a germaphobe, but now I'm just realizing how many germs are everywhere. And it's not like freaking me out to the point where I'm like, I can't touch anything, but I'm thinking about it. It's on my mind. So like, I know our phones are disgusting. I know that, but like menus at a restaurant, I think kind of knew that, but like not really. Like I never, there was never a moment where I was like, I can't touch. Like I was never like that. And I'm still probably not gonna be like, I can't touch. I'll just wash my hands after, or, you know, have sanitized. Like now I think it's also just more aware of like, okay, you can touch certain things, but don't touch your face right after, or just wash your hands. Like just wash your hands. So like menus, I've heard of people thinking of getting like, just how the things that we shouldn't go back to. And so menus at a restaurant, you should just get rid of them. Have it all be, like people are all on their phones anyway. So they can do there, or I mean, some places you don't have to have a menu there, it's like boarded up somewhere, or some places have the menu on the table. I've seen that, like underneath, like just kind of, that's just little things like that that I had never really thought about, but I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm good without menus. Yeah,
I went to so obviously my mom stays like stays a lot indoors because she's older, and you know, it's, she's at a higher risk. But one day she just was bored, and she's like, you know what, I want to go out, and now that we can actually see each other, let's go and let's see if there's a restaurant that at least we can go into. This is when restaurants were starting to open up. In May, I believe. And so we went to a Red Lobster, which had their, you know, social distance tables, and mm-hmm. it was fine. And their menus were just paper menus. And
they were disposable.
Yeah, disposable. Oh. So you just throw them out. So then, like, I still washed my hands after I looked at the menu. But yeah, I saw her take it, and I saw her that there was a basket over there, and she just folded it up and just put it in there. And maybe it was recycled basket. I couldn't really see, but she just put it to the side. But I'm like, it's those little things, yeah. Like, oh, okay, right. like that's nice. And I know there's some people who, yeah, like wouldn't wash their hands. I think I learned it sometime in college. A friend of mine had said, look, wash your hands after, not when you get to the. Because I used to wash my hands when I got to the restaurant.
Yeah, but then you would get.
And then you touch the menu, right, and all this stuff. Like, no, wash it after the menu, because you don't know how many people have touched
that
menu, and it's all like sticky and greasy, especially like at a diner.
Oh,
and so I was like, oh yeah, that's smart. So
it's like stuff that I think I knew, but I was just like, I'm like, okay,
right.
Because and maybe I should have used the word germaphobe, because I feel like maybe that has the like that sort of means that you're exaggerating. And maybe not. I don't know. But I think we've all just become more germ aware. Oh, right. I don't know if I just
trademark that.
This has been trademarked. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, like I think I'm very much more germ aware now. Sometimes I act differently because of it, sometimes I don't. It just kind of depends on the situation. But when you said the menu thing, that made me think like I have appreciated also seeing how some people have adapted, like especially businesses have adapted to maybe survive, but just basically have adapted to the situation to just keep going. I admire that because there has been a huge shift in things. Like when restaurants were closed, people were trying to, like people that wouldn't do takeout were doing takeout, or they were getting on apps so they could do delivery. Or I definitely saw a lot more shops that weren't very, they were just very like there was a plant shop that I really like to go to. They don't have they didn't have like, you couldn't buy plants online. Like you'd go to the store because it was like more of a boutique. Like you would go to the store and you'd get your plant. But then they started doing this thing where through Instagram, you could order the plant that you want and then they would put it for you on their porch and tell you like, you know, you choose a pickup time and then you go and you pick it up. So you could still have that aesthetic or that therapy or just, you know, whatever you want to do. But they were I saw so many businesses like that just completely adjusting to the situation and figuring out, okay, what can we do? How can we keep going but make changes? Like how can we adapt to the situation, which was very, very, I found it very, very fascinating at times just because I was like, whoa, like, that, I mean, even working from home where people were like, you're all working from home now, this is how we adjust, and now you're going to be doing this, and now, and maybe for some people they were changes that they didn't like, but for the people that were able to adjust and still keep their businesses afloat or keep their selves afloat or their families, whatever it is, I enjoyed seeing the creativity. And maybe it was forced because, yeah, in a sense, like, I don't think, maybe we wouldn't have thought of all this before, or maybe we had thought about it but we weren't going to act on it because, you know, we just weren't, and now we have. And so I think that's been really interesting to see. I've loved seeing how everyone has adjusted or adapted to what they need to.
Yeah, one thing that I do want to acknowledge in this episode about the economy aspect of things, and a lot of people have unfortunately lost their jobs. A lot of people have unfortunately, you know, it's been really tough times. And I feel for them, and I wish them nothing but the best to help them recover on their feet soon enough, because it's been an absolute disaster economically. And I think of sales. I think of, you know, a lot of people in services. I don't know how that's going to change in the future in the sense of, let's say, post-corona. I don't know how many people are going to just jump back into the service business. Yeah. And not because they have to necessarily worry about another corona necessarily or things like that, but they just might feel, you know what? After this experience, I don't even want to risk it. I don't even want to risk even, not necessarily a virus, you know, distorting everything. I just don't want to risk a business not doing so well. And I think I'm done with service business.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in seeing just how that's going to play out, because it's going to be a big hit and it's going to be a big shift in things as far as how, and not necessarily just how restaurants function, although to an extent maybe a little bit, but just in employment numbers and what people begin to go into, and also small businesses. Because I'm sure there's a lot of people who maybe were thinking that this year they're going to open up that small business dream that they were going to have. And obviously, it's a good thing if they didn't start it. They held on to their money. But you know what? They might not do it anymore. They might just save that money for something else or for retirement. Or they might start up that small business but doing something else because, you know, that dream restaurant that Ramirez's had been planning for the past 2 years, they're not going to do it anymore because they don't want to risk it. They don't want to. They see what happened and they see other people, how their restaurants and... To me, that's been sad also as well, seeing all these small businesses, even when I've driven around and seeing just places shut down and it's just closed and you see that it's empty, you can just look inside and there's nobody there. And in your mind, at least for me, I would think like, they're probably not coming back. Like they're probably just not going to come back, and it's a shame.
Yeah, I saw somebody tweeted that out like months ago. They said some of your favorite businesses won't survive the pandemic. And that like, I have chills now just like repeating that, because it is so true. I like the especially at the very beginning when things were closing and but people were still doing takeout or people were still doing online orders or people were just like I said adjusting, there was a push for supporting small businesses, which I did also really appreciate that people were speaking out about that and then just acting on it as well. I think again it's like one of those things that you already know you should do and you already like mean to do it or whatever, but it's easier to, you know, shop there or whatever it is. But this forced people to be like, oh, you know what, like, I gotta do what I can do, especially for people who weren't out of work and were still able to contribute to the economy, but chose to do it to the people and the businesses who really needed it. That was very nice to see. But then, yeah, I did start seeing on, like, just like through Instagram, like the businesses that I would follow. I follow a lot of restaurants and food places because I love food. But I started seeing just some that there was a couple that I liked, that I really liked, or that I just kind of liked. And I just, it broke my heart to see that they already were out. And then there were some that I had never even been to, but I already followed because I had been meaning to go, and they also didn't make it. And it was just kind of like, just so many things like that would contribute to, like, I guess all of our mental states, where you're just kind of like, wow, this is real. And then, wow, this is real. And wow, this is not ending anytime soon. Or wow, this is, you know, we're not all going to make it out alive the same way. And so that was just very eye-opening. And it's, and that's just it. We're only, we're in July right now. We still have a long time more to go. So it's scary to think about, like, what else won't survive this whole thing. So that's just kind of another lingering thought these days.
I also feel for the, obviously, the most important thing, obviously, I feel for the people who have lost loved ones, et cetera, things like that. But I feel if we're going to go minor details on things, I even feel for the people who are supposed to graduate either college or high school.
Yes.
You know, and to have, and look, don't get me wrong, I like the whole virtual graduation. I thought everything, like, I thought that was really cool. I think there was one with Barack Obama, and, you know, he gave, like, the commencement speech and all this stuff. And that's great. That's everything, like, politics aside, like, they're just trying to help out. Like,
yeah,
whether you're for Barack Obama or against Barack Obama, they're trying to do their best. So I had no problem with that at all. I thought that was great. But it's obviously not the same. It's not the same as physically having your parents or loved ones there and you physically wearing
your
cap.
Celebrating your work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really tough.
Yeah. And you know what? So I was thinking, like, I was trying to put myself in the situation. I was just trying to be like, how would I feel if that was me? Like, that, if that was me graduating, you know, high school or when I graduated college.
Did you feel that you were cheated out of it?
Okay, so that's the thing. I had a lot of time to think about things sometimes, and some days were just like little rabbit holes of good and bad thoughts. And so one of my things was like, okay, well, right now that at the age that I am and the sort of life that I have lived, whatever, like, I would try and I was trying to have this conversation with the me back then and trying to be like, no, like, you're not going to, like, so many other things are going to come up in life, like your high school graduation or your college graduation, whatever. It's not going to matter. Like, trust me, it's whatever is what I try and think. But then I tried to put myself in the mental state that I was in then. And I would have been like, no, at that time, yes, that would have been a thing. It wouldn't have been the end of the world, but yes, it would have been something that you were cheated out of. And it's not just you. It's a lot of people dealing with a lot of different things. I know some people have had to cancel weddings or postpone, and you know, there's money issues behind that. But still, like, your graduation is a celebration of all of your hard work. And what really, really hit me is, like, think of the first generation high school graduates or first generation college students, the first in their family, especially for, like, children of immigrants, first in their family, or just immigrants themselves, like, first in their family to get to that point. That is something that should definitely be celebrated. And it's not that they weren't celebrated. It's that you still got to that point, and everyone's going to celebrate how they celebrate. But that is it's a monumental moment for someone who's 18 or early 20s, and it shouldn't be taken away. And I do think that, I'm not saying that they should have had it, because yes, it did pose a safety risk. And so right now I understand that those changes had to be made. Sure. But I don't know that 18-year-old me would have understood. I would have definitely felt cheated out of it. And so, my heart goes out to all those kids who worked really, really hard. And everyone has a completely different story. So, you know, someone worked hard, someone may, you know, for other people, it would have been maybe a completely different story, where this really was that moment that they had been looking forward to. And yeah, they, you know, didn't get it the same way. And it was cool to see the virtual graduations or the drive-through graduations. I think, again, that was people adapting to the situation that they had. And so I admired the fact that they did it. They found a way to celebrate these students and their families, and that was cool. But yeah, it's you're told your whole life that something's going to be a certain way. That is such a thing that everybody. It's a very common thing in, like, our society, that you know that you get a graduation if that's what you want, but then for you to not have it, it's my heart goes out to all those kids. Like, you did your best, and yeah, you should be celebrated.
We'll say one thing quickly, just as a sports fan, to have sports being taken away, it's interesting, because I remember after After September 11th, I was, whatever, I forgot how old I was. I think it was 16 when September 11th was happened. Like, sports was obviously our escape for a lot of people. And even for those who weren't sports fans, they started just getting into it. And in particular, baseball, because baseball was, it was during that time of year, the postseason, and then the Yankees made the World Series, and so New York City kind of embraced the Yankees, everybody, and et cetera. But it's always been our escape, even when bad things, even, you know, when it comes to things like politics or even war, if we're talking about, you know, Iraq or Afghanistan. If you don't want to listen to all that, you can at least get your escape. Yes, of course, there's movies, you know, TV series, but there's also sports, and sports can get away from that. And to not have the escape there and realize that the reason your escape is not there is because of that thing that you're trying to escape. The thing you're trying to escape from, of COVID-19, the reality of that.
Nothing is safe from it.
Like, yeah, no. So yeah. So not even that, not even sports can quote-unquote save you, if you will, if you want to put it even in those terms. Like, it's been really tough. Now things are coming back. We'll have the NBA by the end of July. Major League Soccer will come
with
out.
With crowds?
With no crowds. With so no it's crowds. All in a makeshift bubble that they're making, Bubble wow. City, at Walt Disney World. Although the bubble is not always safe, you know, in the sense of, like, people can get infected and stuff. But I think to an extent with sports, they're kind of just, they're accepting the reality of some people have already tested positive.
Yeah.
Like, even though they've been isolated or they go back to their team's facilities, they're getting infected. And to an extent, a lot of these sports leagues are kind of just being like, okay, we're going to have them isolate for 2 weeks. They'll recover, and then they can come back and join the team. It's reached the point where it's like, you know what, we just have to, at least for sports, I'm not saying for society, but at least for, yeah. It seems like in the sports world, it's just a reality. People are going to get sick,
yeah,
get healthy, and they come back.
Yeah,
go ahead. No, I was just going to say, and maybe, you know, one can make the argument that should be sort of how we should look at COVID-19 in general, but we don't. But, you know, that's not how we see it. I think with sports, agree or disagree, they still want the business aspect of it. There's still multi-million-dollar deals, both for television and for these teams to get done. And also, yeah, they're providing a distraction. So for me as a sports fan, yeah, I want to see sports come back. Health is number one, and if by chance they had to cancel the Major League Baseball season or the NBA season because of health, okay, then that's it. But if it is going to happen, then yeah, I'm going to tune in and I'm going to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Because after, like, both of us who work 8, 9, like I said, 10 hours a day sometimes, I need something else. I don't know how much Netflix and Hulu, as much as I enjoy it, I don't know how much more digging I can do with this. I need something else. And even when we would talk in the past, I think I would mention sometimes, like, usually what I would watch a lot more is sports. I don't stream that many things.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I would joke around about the idea of some of the people who just binge all their weekends full of stuff. And for me, I'm like, what could you binge me? Well, I'm like a nerd here watching tons of hours of sports.
So you're, we're just both binging, like, yeah, sports.
Yeah.
It's the content.
But now I'm just like, oh, I need that back. Like, mm-hmm. I need that thing back. Even though as soon as the NBA tips off in late July and you see it's right in your face that it's not different because they're in a closed gym in Orlando. It is not the Staples Center in Los Angeles with, you know, 20,000 fans. It's this weird, isolated kind of, it's almost like a live feed of watching a practice.
Yeah, they're not going to have people, like, booing them and cheering them and, like, hyping them up. Or
even watching soccer, like, Europe has opened up theirs.
Yeah.
And there's artificial crowd noise that's added.
Oh.
That is added to the live broadcast. It's not a lot. It's not added to the stadium.
Oh, they can't hear it.
Okay, no, so the, no, they're playing, like, the teams are playing like they're, like, playing they're practice almost.
Yeah.
Like, there's nobody there. They're just in a practice facility.
Wow.
But when you hear it in the broadcast, you're hearing the live stream because it does make a difference, actually. Like, it does feel better. And I do enjoy hearing the crowd, even though, you know, it's fake, but it just feels more of it because the German Bundesliga was the first league to come back. They first started off with no crowd noise, and it sounded eerie and it sounded weird. And just to hear the players scream and this emptiness, it almost felt fitting at first, like that first week. It's like, yes, a lot of us feel empty right now. And this is kind of this is appropriate. It felt appropriate. But then I think they realized, you know what, it feels better. This is a distraction. We need to amp things up. So they put in fake noise, and all the other leagues joined as well. And they're putting in fake noise that has been reported from previous games to this. So it's just crazy that we just can't escape. Even our escapes cannot escape.
Yeah, like, literally nothing is safe from this thing.
Yeah.
And nothing is safe from it. So it really did change our lives. I guess it also made us realize, I mean, for me, it made us realize how, I don't want to say good, but like, it just made us realize, like for me, it made me realize certain things that I was taking for granted and that I no longer want to take for granted. So I'm sure there's a lesson in all of this somewhere, maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's just something we do have to just get through. But yeah, it's just all of this, like sitting alone or sitting with my thoughts it's opened up a lot of things that I have addressed or that I want to address, or just things that I want to. There was a point at the very beginning where, you know, it was like people would, I also didn't like the word quarantine because I think people were like, it was like a trendy thing, like, oh, you know, just here in the core, like the quarantine. When to me, it was like, first of all, that is like, that's, you're only supposed to quarantine if that, like, you know, you're being asked to stay at home. You're not being asked to quarantine, but well, that's a different thing. It's a little different rant, but yeah, it seemed like, and I don't want to, okay, so I would go through a lot of like anger, same with you, anger, judgment, and then I'd be like, okay, but what am I doing, you know? So I'd try and like catch myself, still go back and forth and stuff, but yeah, there was points where I was like, it's not a trendy thing, but then the other part of me was like, people are just trying to survive any way that they can, and I don't know what their life is like, I don't know what their boat is like, so maybe I should stop judging. So I would go through that back and forth, but yeah, there was a point where, and because of social media, I would see certain people who were trying to use this, and I kind of respect it, but who were trying to use the time to pick up a skill or to do something, or, you know, and I admire that, because it's like, true, what are you going to do? Like, if that's what you, if they want to like all of a sudden start eating clean, or all of a sudden finally start learning how to play that instrument, or finally tackling those projects, cool, that's cool. But there did come a point where I felt the pressure. I was like, well, I have to do something too. Like, I can't come out of this the same person. And so I got like, I tried to make a list. And then through talking to people, I realized like, nah, you just got to survive this. Like, you got to get out of this. You got to survive it. You don't have to come out with like 5 new skills, learning a different language, like in the best shape of your life and all this stuff. Because, you know, at that time, I'm thinking people probably thought it's going to be like a month, 2 months tops. Now it's our life. So, you know, it's just kind of this thing we don't know when it's going to end. So if you want to start something, cool. I there's certain things that I think I will get to, but I think it's really important to remember you don't have to do it. And if you are going to come out a new and improved person, like, it should probably be internally, and having learned more about the people around you and the world around you and the luxuries and the non-luxuries around you, then like, you know, you learning Italian now, unless that's what you want to do, then cool, do that, but also do the other work, you know what I mean?
No. I think for sure, and I think if somebody hasn't learned anything from this time, I do feel sorry for that person. I have no shame of saying I feel sorry if anybody. It doesn't have to be somebody who's listening to this podcast. If you or whoever it is did not learn from this, I do feel bad for you. I feel bad for you, because how could you not? How can you not at least try to better your life, or try to better something in your life than after all of this? I hinted at it earlier, but I don't like the term that when we get back to normal. I never liked it. I never liked that thing, back to normal, because A, the normal wasn't really that great, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. And second, why would I want to go back to normal? Because to me, the way I interpret it, and maybe I could be wrong, but this is how I interpret it, is that I completely take everything that I learned in that time of the bad time, and then I'm just kind of putting it on the shelf, and I'm going back to my routine of what I used to do. To me, that sounds like a bad deal. To me, that sounds like that I didn't learn anything, that I should feel sorry for myself then. I am not about that. I don't, you know, teach his own. I'm trying to keep things really, you know, PC to an extent, but you need to learn something from this, and you cannot go back to normal. That's just my opinion. If you did not learn something, and if you don't feel like, okay, after whenever it is, you could put some arbitrary, we'll just say, let's say a year, let's say March. Okay, March 2021. If we go back, you know, to quote unquote the way things used to be, and if you did not pick anything, or if you feel like not some sort of motivation to do something a little bit different, then maybe reassess what has been happening the past few months. And it's not that anybody's asking you to be some sort of reformed good person and do all this stuff, whatever. What you're asking is just to take some sort of nugget, whether it's from the fact of, hey, maybe, you know what, I think I'm going to start going out a little bit more. Or, hey, I realized, you know, being you know, indoors is not that bad. Depends. If you're an extrovert and you feel like, you know what, being indoors is not that bad, maybe you take that. Maybe you realize, okay, I could be somewhat of an introvert, or vice versa. Then, hey, I can, I like that option of having the ability to go out. Being indoors was not maybe the best thing always. And so then you learned how to do that. But something, it doesn't have to be like kind of what you hinted at. It doesn't have to be an absolute skill that you learned how to, you know, woodwork or whatever, you know. But if you learned something, or even if you realize that, you know what, I enjoy the company of other people, even if it's from 6 feet away, then you know what, you pick that up and you learn something. And don't go back to what the normal was. Go back to something hopefully better than what it was. So for me, I don't like using that term. Even once things get back to post-corona, we'll say post-corona, I am not going to say, well, we're back to normal, because I don't want to be the same Joel of March 10th, 2020.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, I think for a while we were all, not we were all, but, you know, at the very beginning, yeah, I wanted things to get back to quote-unquote normal too, until I realized what normal was for a lot of people. And I've had a friend bring this up, but normal, I don't think we should want to get back to normal. Normal wasn't working for a lot of people. Normal disproportionately affects a lot of people. Normal tells people that they have to work all day, every day, and go to work when they're sick. Like, there's just so many things that normal doesn't appreciate things. Normal values money over people. So yeah, I'm with you. I don't think we should go back to normal. I think we should figure out a new way of being overall. I think we should make things that are actually important normal. It's something that really, like, I've been trying to figure out, like, what little things do I want to take with me to, as you said, post-corona, or just a better time or something. And there's this, I'm a Chance the Rapper fan. So there's this Chance the Rapper lyric where he says, the song is called Blessings. And he says, I know the difference in blessings and worldly possessions. And that to me, it's something that I've always liked. It's something that I've always kind of like understood. And I like that line. And I'm like, yeah, I don't consider myself a materialistic person. But yeah, I have my moments where I'm probably valuing something that doesn't value as much as something else that should. And so that's something that's really, I actually heard the song the other day, and that's when it like really came back to me, where I'm like, yeah, I want to really, really recognize my blessings in life, and my blessings are not things at all. It's actually just, it's people, or it's like the my health that I take for granted sometimes. It's just good moments, and it's not worldly possessions. It's not that new whatever phone or that new car or whatever it is for certain people, or whatever it is to me. Like, it's really brought out the fact that, one, normal wasn't working, and two, I don't want to take anything for granted anymore. So hopefully that all comes with us to post-corona, as you will.
Well, that was our episode. Thanks for listening. And if you're not following us on social, please do. We are on Twitter. We're at KSL Cafecito. On Instagram now, we have our Instagram channel there. Follow us there at KSL Cafecito as well. And for me, I'm at Shoy Cardenas.
And I'm at Evie Cruz on Twitter, and at Living La Vida Evie on Instagram.
Yes, and join us next time. And once again, thank you guys for listening in. And stay strong. We're all going through a tough time right now. And just know that even though we feel like we're alone at times, we're not alone. You're not alone. There's people out there. There's people to help. And we are going to make it. And we're not saying that just to say it. The uncertainty is there as far as when, but we'll reach it at some point. But we'll reach it together.